All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast After Dark. This is our instant reaction show where we break down the Montana State game that happened today, the Weber State win in Bozeman, putting Montana State to 7-1, and we break down the Big Sky Conference as games happened all over the Big Sky. We give you our gut take reactions, the good, the okay, and the bad. We're doing this a little bit different tonight. Thorny, where you at tonight, buddy?
I'm in the San Juan Islands on a little family property in a house that was built like 100 years ago upstairs while there's people having fun downstairs. So it'll be interesting, the recording environment for me. And yeah, there won't be any intro music or anything because we are just doing this on our phones. It'll sound a little different, but the content should be good.
We thought about not doing this, and then ironically, probably like 4 or 5 people are like, I cannot wait for the instant reaction. Yes. So they put the heat on us for sure.
The listeners demand it. Here we are. A little bit late, but it'll come out tonight, though, still.
All right. Yes. Well, we're here to talk about Montana State, the top 5 matchup.
Woo!
Taking down Weber State. That was a huge win. I mean, we're going to go into that. We'll probably have a lot coming up for you on Monday. I don't know if we're going to put anything out on the bye week. We haven't really talked about that, but
we will.
We will. There it is. Boom. You heard it first. Right on. Most importantly, Montana State goes to 7-1, 5-0 in the Big Sky. To me, Thorny, before we get into anything else, this is that important 7 win for Montana State. I think this punches our playoff ticket.
I think it does. We've talked on and off about this, and I keep saying, like, well, I don't know if we lose out after this, but, you know, after this, I feel pretty strong about the Cats making the playoffs regardless. Like, I feel differently now having seen it and witnessed it and digested the win. I think you're right. It did punch our ticket.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get into the game here in a short minute, but first let's break down. Let's go across the Big Sky. I know you don't have stats available, so I'll do the quick and dirty for each of us. Let's see. Down in Cal Poly, Eastern Washington gets its first Big Sky win. Whoever thought we would be saying that? They're 2-5. They beat their old coach, Bo Baldwin, in San Luis Obispo, 17-10. Gunnar Talkington was 21-29, only 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's just a struggle fest down there for both those teams.
17-10 in a game where both teams pass the ball over the place? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And so Eastern scored 10 points in the first quarter, too. They only scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter thereafter. That must have been a really bad game to watch.
Glad I did not.
All right. Moving over to Greeley, they struggled with UC Davis. Davis took it to them 58-10. Miles Hastings was 18-21 with 251 and 3 touchdowns. That's a good day for Miles Hastings. Elijah Dotson had almost 200 yards on 27 carries. So UC Davis just holding court down in Greeley, just like we did last week.
UC Davis still with an outside shot at the playoffs, and the McCaffreys over their head in every way possible. I wouldn't be surprised to see, I don't know what Ed's contract is, but he's got to be getting on the hot seat down there.
You would think so. I mean, outside of his splashy name, yeah, he's done really bad. So
exactly.
Okay. Idaho State down in Pocatello, Northern Arizona, beat Idaho State. This one I was a little salty on because I'm actively rooting against the Lumberjacks at this point. Idaho State still 1-7, 1-4 in the Big Sky. This was 24-10. Hunter Hayes, 22-37, 216 yards with 1 touchdown. Xavier Gilroy, he had 88 yards, but Idaho State did not come through in Pocatello. I thought the Bengals would take it to the Lumberjacks. I was wrong.
Yeah, I know you're actively rooting against the Jacks in every way possible, but unfortunately, Idaho State is just that bad.
Correct. So over here on the Palouse, down in Moscow, Idaho beat Portland State, and they were pretty much tied going into halftime.
Yeah.
And then Idaho State just walked away with it 56-21. Putting them at 5-2, 4-0 in the Big Sky. Giovanni McCoy, 10-19, 248, 4 touchdowns. That is impressive. That's just the top stat on that game. So, again, Idaho State looking pretty solid.
10 completions? That's crazy for how many, what, 4 touchdowns and 250 yards on 10 completions?
Yeah.
That's a good day in the office, I guess. Idaho, man, going to punch their playoff ticket here soon, quite possibly. Crazy. That's absolutely crazy that we'd be talking about Idaho in the playoffs and Eastern Washington not.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Anyways, all right, going on right now, the game over in Sacramento State, the other top 10 matchup.
Stingers up.
Montana Sac State, yes, stingers up. Montana has an early lead, 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. It seems like Sacramento State has had probably already 5 penalties in this game. it's been pretty wild. And it's actually the first time they've been behind all year.
You're right.
They have not been behind all year until right now. This is kind of crazy to think about. They're the only FCS, FBS team to do that. That is wild.
Yep. Well, that wasn't going to last all season. And hopefully they can turn it around because that would complete the perfect day.
Yes.
Hey, I don't know if you have the answer to this. Did South Dakota State beat North Dakota? Kind of a sidebar here.
They did. They came back and won by a couple touchdowns.
Ah, darn. I was hoping all the teams that had big wins last week would have letdowns, and then also the Grizz would lose. That was my hope. But number one hope was that the Bobcats would win, and whoa, we did, Foley.
Was that a Joey Lawrence whoa?
I don't know what it was. I don't know. Could be. I've been drinking Mexican drinks all night. I'm feeling pretty good. It could have been. I could have reverted.
All right. Well, Thorny's lubricated. That's good. Good on you, Thorny.
Yes, I agree.
All right, man. Well, let's get into the game. It's a huge game. It looked miserable over in Bozeman. Let's be honest. It was pouring rain, 41 degrees. Does not look like good football weather. To some, that's probably like perfect football weather, but it looked like that would be kind of tough for both teams. But I was not predicting 43-38. That I was probably my score prediction somewhere in the 20s for both teams. So yeah. I was a little surprised to see, especially after last year when we were like, what, 13-10 or something like that? It's something really low. So
I figured it'd be more high scoring than last year because the defenses for Montana State isn't as good and Weber State's offense is better. But yeah, into this average of a 40 points between the two teams, I would have never thought that.
All right. Well, you know, this game was a really weird game. We will go into the weirdness more on Monday, probably. Like, we'll dissect the game just as a whole after we digest it for a couple days. We'll listen to Coach Vegan on Monday and, you know, read up on it. But kind of a wild game down in Bozeman. What we like to do with these episodes, if you haven't listened before, is we go into the good, the bad, and the okay. Or the good, the okay, and the bad. So let's start off with some goods, Thorny. What was you?
I would just say Tommy Lott's performance. Outside of his very first interception, very first pass, 0-for-1 for an interception, pretty awful start. He settled in, made some good throws, had, what, 32 carries for 277 yards? Is that what the final stat line was?
Something like that. Like 273 is on my book. So
yeah, crazy. Just ridiculous. Very impressed with Tommy Lott. I was very worried when I read today that Sean Chambers was not going to suit up. He was injured. I'm like, well, not going to lie. I was feeling pretty down at that point, Foley. I'm like, we're not going to win this game. I didn't think Tommy Lott couldn't win it. I just thought we would need Chambers to be able to just pound the defense. We ran the ball way better than I thought we would. And I was just concerned that without Chambers, we wouldn't be able to do that. So kudos to Tommy Lott for just having his best performance, I think, since last year in the playoffs. He finally kind of looked like he did. The playoff time, he kind of showed up a little bit.
Yeah, he was in his old form. It's good to see him rise to the occasion. I, too, was a little concerned about Sean coming into the game. Do we know what that was about?
I haven't heard anything, but I've been on an island with spotty reception, but it was undisclosed the last time I knew.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to be more specific with my goods just because I'm just looking over my game notes. I'll Let's see. I like Marquis Johnson, man. I think Marquis Johnson is probably our most explosive player. I like him in the return game. I like also Marquis Johnson when we put him on the end around. I think we need to use him more.
Yeah, he's very fast. He's electric. He can make guys miss. He's a real weapon.
Yeah. Love watching him.
Okay, and they're good for me is offensive line, man. I was super concerned about Weaver's defensive line, defensive front six or seven, depending on how many guys they have out there. Our offensive line blocked really well. I'll just say the blocking in general. I'll just extend that to the – I thought the wide receivers, the tight ends all blocked really well. But the offensive line, man, they were able to continue to impress without Cole Sane, without Marcus Ware. Like, we didn't miss a beat. Like, I think Weaver State was averaging, like, 90 yards given up per game. And what was the final stat? Malott had 270-plus himself. Like, we rushed for over 300 yards, like, quadrupling almost their – what was it?
Montana State has it at 347, 53 rushes for 347. So, yeah, we kick some butt.
Kick some absolute butt. Like, a team that was shutting down the run – we ran all over them, and that was super impressive to see. And I give a huge credit to the offensive line, Brian Armstrong, the run game coordinator and offensive line coach, and also Taylor Housewright for coming up with a good offensive game plan. Like those were, it was, I didn't think we could score that many points, and I was very impressed.
Surprised me too. I thought they up our run game and do it with ease, kind of given the fact that we had those young guys starting on the offensive line, but man,
especially almost, with no Sean Chambers,
exactly 350 yards of rushing. That's no joke, man. So Montana State, you know what we do?
Density. That really well.
Like it's just like crystallizing for me that's just what we are. You know, it's really cool to see them
struggle,
whether it's a FBS team, FCS team, top five, you name it, we're doing really well in the run game, no matter who's on our line or who's toting the rock for us, man. So this is all without Afonso and, you know, down a couple of starting offensive linemen, Montana. And I think that just bodes well for us going into the playoffs.
I just want to give a huge shout out right now in the good category, Brent Vegan, man. If you are apprehensive about Brent Vegan as a head coach of Bobcats still in any way, get over it. We just beat the number five team at home, missing so many key players and never panicking, never even having a doubt. It started off slowly. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying there's never doubt. Like, the Bobcats just kept doing their thing. They didn't panic. He's got this team believing in themselves. He's got the next man up mentality, which is such an easy thing to say, but he's actually proving it and playing out in front of our eyes. Like, Brent Vegan has completely won me over. He is an amazing coach. I texted you before the game. I'm not sure you ever even texted me back on this, but I asked you, buy or sell, coaching wins this game or loses this game, because in my mind that was going to be the determining factor. And I actually think coaching came down a big part of it. We'll talk about some other craziness that happened in this game that had nothing to do with coaching necessarily, but you know, Brent Vegan, you know, he's got it dialed in, and I'm a huge fan, and he's squarely in my good category right now.
Brent, no panic Vegan. I think that's what we're going to start naming him. I love it.
There we go.
Yeah. That guy's steady hand. He is. You're right, Ryan.
He deserves a lot of credit.
Nice job, Coach Vegan. I want to give props to a couple more players. I'll just name off a couple with just a couple things I noticed. Just a quick hitter for some goods. Kenny Iden, man. I think that dude is just coming into his own. He's kind of putting together
a good stretch
right now. I think he's balling out. Saw him get a sack. I want to say RJ Fitzgerald, Sorry, I can't
Don't
take
tell
it back now.
I've been drinking all night. I will laugh too hard.
Fourth touchdown in the fourth game, man. I'm good to see that guy on the goal line stuff just plowing into the goal. So I love that. Let's see, Callahan O'Reilly. He had a sack on third down on that last sequence. those are just a couple guys I just want to get props to.
Yeah, you can look at individual stats there. I already mentioned Tommy Mellott. I think you mentioned everyone else. I thought Jeff Manning had a pretty decent game, at least from what I saw. I wasn't able to watch the entire game, but I saw him laying the wood a couple times, something we've been critical about him a little bit throughout the season, but he's really kind of stepped up his physicality. So I just wanted to kind of shout that out for Jeff Manning here. I'm not sure what else I needed to say in the good category. I mean, obviously, the fact that we won this game is absolutely huge. We can talk about that for a minute. Like, this puts us squarely in the driver's seat for the Big Sky Conference Championship. Depending what happens down in Sacramento tonight, if the Grizz can win that game, I mean, the Cats are in control of the destiny, right? I guess Idaho is unbeaten.
Yeah, that's true.
How the scenarios could play out, but it's almost like the Grizz winning would be beneficial because then, I'm not going to root for them, but and the Cats are, you know, a good chance of winning the conference title still, and that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That number one/number two seed is still within reach. And as you know, you get home games throughout the entire playoffs in that scenario. You don't have to go to Fargo ever if you're the number one or two seed. So huge, huge win.
Yeah. It's one of the most impressive wins I can think of as far as just stats go, big time games. There's, you know, some critiques for Montana State we'll get into for sure. It's like after I got done watching the game, I was like, I don't know how to process what I just saw because it was almost like there were such swings of momentum in that game. You're just like, oh, we're going to put these guys away. And then, no, they're fighting back and all the weird special teams plays on both sides. It was just a really weird game to watch. And yeah, but I'm glad we came out on top. You know, I was glad it was in Bozeman because I don't know if that one was in Ogden if we come out on top.
That was one of the weirdest games of football I've ever watched. Just everything. Like you said, roller coaster. We'll talk a lot more about that kind of stuff on Monday. But, man, what a weird, ugly, amazing victory.
Yeah. All right. I have one thing for the okay category. It is that Tommy Mellott rushed for 32 times. And it's weird because he, had the Big Sky record. He got the Big Sky QB record for rushing, 273 rushing yards. But I don't want my quarterback rushing 32 times.
No, I mean, this comes down to the South Dakota State game last year. Like, okay, that was awesome. We can't do that for an entire season. Well, here we are again. Tommy Mellott getting 30-plus carries in a game, but, you know, you got to kind of ride the pony that's doing it for you, and that's just kind of how the game plan worked out. And then they won the game, and we have, you know, two quarterbacks this year. Not like last year, you know, Tommy Mellott gets hurt, we're toast, and that's what kind of happened in the national championship game. But assuming Chambers is able to get healthy relatively quick, you know, one guy taking 30 carries 1 week is not a huge deal because you got another guy who can come in and spell you theoretically. But yeah, Tommy, 32 carries, not ideal in the grand scheme of things, but you know, once in a while, if that's what you got to do to win, that's what you do.
Yeah, he was special out there today in his post game press conference that Tommy had about 10 plus pass plays that he chose to run on, so he's taking, you know, off script stuff right there.
Yeah. Okay, category, do I put this in the bad or the okay? Defense, just okay again, bailed out by some timely drops by Weber State multiple times throughout the game, including that last gasp fourth down play, which was dropped. You know, they continued to just be able to give up good big plays. They continued kind of just not cover guys. They're just guys wide running wide open all throughout the secondary. And when we can't get to the quarterback, which we did an okay job of getting to Bronson Barron, but he had plenty of time, especially in that fourth quarter. We're going to get picked apart. So we got to continue to work on that on the defensive side of things. I would put that in the okay category.
To piggyback on that, one of my gripes with the defense is not weak side. We have a lot of big plays that go against us, especially in the run game, is we're failing to set the edge, setting contain. However you want to say it, it's been a real challenge for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, it continues to be a challenge. A lot of the same stuff just keeps rearing its ugly head.
Yeah.
And a huge concern going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on into the bad category. I thought let's just start with the obvious bad.
It's 11 times for 75 yards. And
Weber State was penalized three times for 25 yards. I don't know how many false starts there were, but probably at least five.
I counted five at one point, so it could have ended up as six. And then there was the offsides on a kickoff, too, Foley.
Yeah.
It's like every single time that a flag blew, like, was thrown, and I listened to this game partway, I watched partway, but it's like, oh, well, there's going to be a procedure penalty on the Bobcats. And that's why it's 11 penalties for, like, what'd you say, 75 yards? Because they were all freaking procedural penalties.
Yeah.
They were like 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards. Yeah. It's like, but they were so crucial. They were always like, we're setting ourselves up for second and 15. There was one, there was two in a row, and it was like second and 20 because we got two false starts in a row. Like, that is just frustrating.
You mentioned this, and you were also right. How many times did we come up? And we were just slightly short.
Like, yeah, there was a lot of times it was like a second down play or a third down play, and we'd get to like a yard within the first down. Like, that happened multiple times. I don't know if I'd put that in the ugly category because that's just kind of how it went, but it was just frustrating to see that happen over and over.
Right.
Another thing that was ugly was our special team tackling.
Special team
touchdowns. Do you want to take that?
No, I'm just emphasizing how ugly it was.
It was like we had the same problem. What was it? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I can't remember, but you talked about it on the pod. You're like, we need to shore up our tackling on special teams in the game again. And I don't know if it was just because the players were wet. That might have been it if they were cold, but the moisture probably had something to do with it. But yeah, we had a lot of missed tackles, but I thought that also bled into some of our defensive play. Ty Gregorak commented on it in his presentation, and he said Montana State's given a lot of like shoulder tackles. We're not wrapping up right now. Maybe that might be something Montana State wants to address over the bye week.
The good news is a lot of this stuff is still correctable, and we have a bye week to kind of look at ourselves and kind of try and fix some of the things that have been problematic. Yeah, tackling, special teams play have been spotty throughout the season. Let's get it dialed in.
Yeah. I think a bad thing for me was Weber was wide open on slants. And you saw that going on that last drive and a couple times over the middle too, where they are just fitting fits against our zone defense and we're not being able to somehow plug that or cover that. Like, I don't know if it was a coverage problem. Like that last play on fourth down. Who's number four? James Campbell. James Campbell got caught lucky. Like, he was so far off of Ty McPherson out there. And I don't know if he was not just trying to get beat behind because that would have been game over. But, I mean, he had help. Jeffrey Manning was out there. I'm not sure what was going on. But I look at that kind of stuff. I'm like, man. Like,
there. It continues to be a problem. And we got lucky, like you said, throughout this game. Dropped passes. Should have been more points on the board for Weber.
I noticed that Montana State was wearing or went sans gloves. A lot of the players were wearing just like Willie Patterson didn't have gloves. And then a lot of the Weber guys were still wearing their gloves. And I don't know if that with the wet ball would make a difference or not. Apparently Montana State thought it was. And so a lot of the guys were choosing to go without gloves.
Yeah, I did notice that Willie Patterson, I saw one of the passes to the flat for Willie Patterson, and I was like, well, he's not wearing gloves. And I was like, is he normally wear gloves? Like, I feel like it's kind of an interesting choice to bring up.
Yeah. Anyways.
In the ugly category, I feel bad for the kid or kids. Is it multiple guys for Weber State who just could not snap a punt? Come on. I feel bad.
Grant Sands is his name. The long
Was it one guy the whole time?
Yeah, it was.
I feel so bad for that kid. It was like I it did not hurt my team at all. It was really helpful for my team, but I just feel bad for any kid who has that bad of a day in the office. My goodness.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. We probably will never see anything like that again. It was weird.
It's like the same thing time and time again. Like, what was his deal? I saw they showed him on the sideline, like, practicing snapping, and he snapped it. And I remember him coming up like, see, that was a good snap. And but then he'd come out like the and 5 minutes later and shoot it over his punter's head. I don't understand what was happening. We didn't have any problem with the snaps, with the punts. So clearly something to do with whatever that guy was doing. And I just feel bad, but crazy. 8 points off of bad snaps. Four yeah. safeties. That is absolutely ridiculous. I saw that was an FCS record, which the FBS record is worse. Is that what that's implying? That somebody, there's more than four safeties in a game?
I don't know, somewhere? Man. It's probable. I don't know. So,
but by one guy, though, man, that's a bad day. That guy's not going to – he's going to be having nightmares about that game until he dies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody who watched it in my household, as he was walking off the field, they're like, man, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, but I don't wish that up on my worst enemy, that kind of day in the office. I'm sorry, no. Buddy.
All right, Thorny, we're running up against 30 minutes. I think I'm good, man.
Man, just what a huge win. This is so exciting. Like, this is a game. I penciled this in as a win before we started the season, but I didn't know how good Weber was when I penciled it in. I had Weber like losing like three games at least by this point. So Weber, with how good they've been and just with the injuries Montana State has had, the adversity, like there's so many signs to me were pointing to this game being a loss. Chambers being out, all the guys, you know, the right side, the entire right side of the offensive line, Cole Saint, Marcus Ware being out, Cleavan Thomas apparently having some sort of compliance issue from Kentucky and he couldn't play. And it's raining, and like it's first weekend in the hunting season. So I was like, maybe the crowd's not going to be as raucous. I'm like, this just seems like a perfect storm for the Bobcats to lose this game. And they didn't. And I'm so happy about that. I'm so excited to see Bobcat football be able to take that step and win this kind of game.
Sure, if it's a landmark performance for the Cats, but we'll take it any day.
Hey, it's a slobber knocker. It was an ugly game by everybody. We came out with the W. That's all that matters.
Yeah. We knew it would be a slobber knocker, but I don't think anybody predicted how weird of a game this was. No. But, you know, it's nice to see these type of games going in Montana State's favor. My sister was like, I don't know if we deserve to win that game. And I was like, you know, someone's got to win that game. and Montana State made enough plays. Tommy Malott really was the difference in this game. And he looked like his old self, and I'm happy for Tommy. I'm a little bit unsure on how I feel about running the ball 32 times again. I know some of that's Malott just making improvised plays, but huge props to the Montana State young offensive line for opening holes up against a really stout defense, one that was only averaging 89 yards of rushing this whole year, or giving up 89 yards of rushing, and we just blew them out of the water. That's probably the most impressive thing I'll go into the bye week thinking about.
Exactly. I think Weber State had given up one rushing touchdown on defense all year before this game.
Yeah.
Which we tripled them up on the guy and everything. Pretty fantastic. All right. Anything else you want to say here? I'll get us out.
No, man. I think we're good, dude.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Sorry for the weird format and the poor audio quality, but we're bringing it to you, giving the people what they want. You can always find us on Twitter, RRCatCast. You can find us on the web, RRCatCast.com. Hey, Foley Man, go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.